Hello. Welcome to episode something of Crippled System.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
We're live.
I'm eating caramel corn.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's called content, Nathan. Content. Mm-hmm.
I was hoping to be off camera because I have my sandwich and my sodas. We were supposed to have a guest here.
So are we ASMR now?
No. No.
Miller Lite.
That's ASMR.
Whatever the fuck beer it was. Like, God, so dumb. ASMR's dumb, and if you like it, you're dumb, and that commercial was dumb.
I'm okay with whatever people are into, but it definitely is not a mainstream thing. So I don't know of really many people that actually like that commercial at all.
Nobody does.
Hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 287. I want to say
right. Sure. It was 286 last time. 287. As I said, 286.
That's how numbers work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I said last week, 286 was the number of a popular Intel processor, and 287 was the number of the mathematical coprocessor to go with it.
Neat.
Yep.
Neat.
I'm so happy you shared that again.
Zappity.
I'm Dan.
Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
That was Andy at the beginning.
I'm Andy.
Yeah, see?
I got Emilio sub.
What kind?
Meat and cheese and mayo.
I think that's literally every meal.
I mean, that's Emilio's.
Then no, that's it.
Yeah.
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 No, I
you have you have successfully described a Emilio's sub without offering any help as to which one it is.
Well, it's meat and cheese and mayo.
Right, that's like if I asked you what you got at the Mexican restaurant, and you said it was like meat, cheese, and a tortilla, that doesn't tell me what you got.
Yeah, but I could have mentioned vegetables.
Sure. Right. That's the optional addition to any Emilio's sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for the veggie sub.
Still optional, technically.
That's true. They sell just the bread.
Yep.
I got the double roast beef. And provolone.
I guess I did know that you did not get the Godfather or the, pretty much just the Godfather, because that has the Italian dressing instead of mayo.
Yeah, no Italian dressing for me. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. I like Italian dressing.
Well, it's not a slight against you.
No.
I don't like it.
Or as when I lived in New York, they called it sub sauce.
It's New York. They have a different word for everything.
Yeah.
Also in New York, a burrito is legally a sandwich.
Oh, God damn it. When I really don't want to.
Sure?
Legally?
There was a state court where a judge ruled that a burrito was a sandwich.
Why?
Because there was a sandwich shop in a strip mall that had a contract with the owner that said that another sandwich shop couldn't come in. And so they put in a burrito place, and the sandwich shop owner sued. Because a burrito place was a sandwich place, they claimed, and the judge agreed with them.
I don't like the scary times that we live in.
Even if a burrito is a sandwich, which I'm not prepared to debate,
it's a wrap.
I think it's different enough. I think a wrap might be a subset of sandwich.
Subset, but not a sandwich.
Yeah, a sub sandwich.
Correct, just cut on one side only.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that's different enough.
Yeah.
That's
so you're saying so you're saying that if there's another trial like this, we should file an amicus curiae brief about it.
Yeah, that was literally the words that were in my head.
we're gonna put a puzzle together.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's an I am mass curious brief. Like you just tell the judge, like, I'm really, really interested in this underwear.
What abacus? What?
It's an abacus.
Yeah. Yes.
It's an abacus curious brief.
I'm curious why KISS hasn't sued the makers of abacuses, because it's so close to their name.
No, you're thinking of ABBA.
ABBA? Oh, ABBA and KISS, they could actually get together and sue the makers of abacus.
Yeah, you put those two bands together and they're really good at counting.
Are they?
Well, I mean,
they're all like 80.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Zappity.
Announcements last week was the WITC.
It was yesterday.
Yeah. Well, depending on when people listen to this.
That's true.
I guess my statement did rely on them listening to it before the end of this week. Right. Or a year from now with perfect timing.
Assuming we don't shift the date, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it could be like 53 timing. Weeks from sure, now or 51 yes. weeks from now. The point is, there's a 1 in 52 chance that last week was the WITC. And if you're a prompt listener, those odds go up immensely.
Mm-hmm. So we have anything coming up?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Isn't there Warfare Weekend?
Well, that's in November.
Yeah.
And there's GameholeCon? There's that other thing. What's that other thing?
The Michigan
yeah.
Cup?
No, GameholeCon. Yeah, and there's Michigan Grand Prix or something.
The Michigan GT?
GT?
GT, I think it is.
PT? The PT Cruiser?
No. No. No.
That's just one of Michigan's crimes.
I have a coworker who is in a he is in a motorized wheelchair, and his name is Peter, and so people call him Petey Cruiser.
How many people has he stabbed?
Great. I'd imagine he has stabbed people, but not over that. He's gangsta.
WITC was a thing. There was a Guild Ball event at the WITC, and that was a thing.
Yes.
And I drank a lot.
There's some damn good roasted chicken too.
Yeah.
I had just a drumstick and that was it. I'm not a chicken on the bone fan. I grew up with chicken on a bone and I don't like it. So I went all. I've reversed my, you know, like how kids usually want to have just what chicken they had, nuggets and yeah. such. I'm back to that.
Chicken on the bone's the best.
No.
Especially dark meat. No. Get a drumstick and thigh combo at Popeyes and you're happy.
Yep.
The red beans and rice and a biscuit.
All that is wrong except for the biscuit part.
Oh, red beans and rice?
No.
Dark meat? Drumstick? You ate the drumstick yesterday, so obviously you like drumsticks.
Because I wanted sustenance or something in my stomach other than just alcohol.
But you had all four of the standard go-to chicken pieces available to you, and you chose drumstick.
Well, it was the one that I was most familiar with. I didn't...
Like, I mean, the wing confused you? What is this?
I mean, I don't think this is an explicit choice of white meat over dark meat. It's a choice of I'm going to pick up the one that fits in my hand and is easiest to eat.
Now, that is fair. Yeah. The drumstick is the easiest to eat of the chicken on a bone. Although, a thigh is just a drumstick with, like, that extra huge chunk hanging off the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thighs are good.
Thighs are the best piece of chicken.
I really hate tendons, and those generally are in chicken on a bone. His tendons and that. And just,
you need better prepared chicken on a bone.
Yeah.
Well, my mom did it, so that's her fault.
Damn it, Andy's mom. He still loves you.
You look over. I don't think she's in chat, Andy.
I hope not.
We will find out if his phone starts ringing in about 5 minutes.
She didn't ever call me.
I mean, she called you yesterday.
No, I actually called her.
Oh, okay.
After how many blind Russians?
It was probably about 3 at the time when I called mom.
Anyway.
I was doing fine.
It was fine. We didn't need a TO round 3.
Yeah.
The event went okay. We had, you know, people with the fun and the stuff.
The annual blind Russian drinking event.
Random 9%er chance saved me from a moral quandary right at the very beginning of the event, so that was handy. Because one of the teams was missing a player, and that player had the models that were necessary for the other two players, which means none of the players on the team could play the first round. So that team volunteered to take a bye, and I'm like, well, we'll see. I don't know. I don't necessarily like doing that because whatever. And then I shuffled I hit the generate pairings, and that team just got the bye naturally, so... No moral quandary for Nathan.
Yeah.
And that team coasted to the win on that action.
Yes.
They definitely would have lost round one.
Yeah.
Well, they definitely would have lost round one if I didn't give them the bye.
Sure. Well, no, they could have made it there in time with, you know.
Nick walked in 15 minutes after the event started. So, yeah. Or so, after round one started.
Yeah, 45-minute clock, they could do it. On Protectorate.
I don't know if you've watched Nick play, but...
No, I know. Nick would have lost.
The other two might have been able to do it. But I wonder, so if you can't legally field your lists, like, I guess you could still pick that list and then you wouldn't be able to deploy it, but you could use your clock time to run and get, like, the models.
Yeah, that's what I would expect.
That's
probably what we would have had to have done, is just have everyone set up and clocks on waiting for Nick to come in. And it's like, okay, put your stuff on the table, let's go.
Yeah, all right, all right.
I mean, you might be able to deploy. Basically,
and obviously he could give you guys your models first, because he's going to dig all of his out.
Yeah, I had my models. Oh, you were good to go. Keith was just missing some.
So. You could have probably basically gone through the point of deploying your stuff at that point and then just waiting until...
Well, except for the models they're missing.
Correct.
You know? And if they go second, their opponent could deploy their stuff and then clock over, and you could deploy everything except for the missing models.
But luckily, it wasn't a thing. We had some people that didn't make it to the Guild Ball event, though, unfortunately. So we were much shorter than what we wanted to be at.
Well, yeah, because there was a Madison event that was, you know, generating interest in the local area. So it's a good event. It's just a shame that it suddenly popped up on our radar and was on the same day.
Yeah, it showed up like 3 days or 3 weeks before WITC. That's when I found out about Noble Knights' back to school gaming event.
Whoops.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do?
Burn the store down?
No, it's a castle. You can't do that.
Castles have burned down.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying it was the only choice, but technically it's a way you could have made it so they did not have a competing event.
Thing is, though, I think a castle nowadays, if it were to burn, I don't think it would burn down.
I think there would be...
It's
a real castle, I'm pretty sure.
No, but what?
Yeah.
But the point I was trying to make, though, is I don't think...
Jet fuel can't melt castle stones.
Correct. Okay. Correct. No, modern day technology.
Modern day castles?
No. If there was a castle that was around castle? Right now and it started on fire, back then they didn't actually have like fire trucks and actual departments in that regards. They had a brigade maybe of people running around with buckets.
So,
but I don't think that
here's the very, very easy proof of whether you're right or not. How bad is Notre Dame right now?
Well, that wasn't really a castle.
Dude, it
was more of a wooden church.
No, cathedrals aren't wooden churches. Cathedrals are made out of as much high-quality stonemasonry as any castle.
I think most of the stuff that burnt down was the wooden stuff near the top.
It was the wooden roof.
It was the roof and the supports.
Yeah, but it wasn't the actual stone itself.
Sure, but the wooden supports within it, there's a lot of structural integrity that causes. Like,
and actually, Notre Dame was a random weird design that saved it because it has much more supporting stone in its roof than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also said that fire was weird for them to fight because they had to fight it knowing that they had to save the building as opposed to fighting it in the most efficient way to put out fire.
Sure.
Yeah, just spray as much as possible and you know, hope it goes out. Yeah. See? We were both right.
What? Now, what if a castle was made out of an Amazonian-style basin?
Well, you know, stop eating meat and castles won't burn down.
It's fine. That's probably the second worst thing that's happened this week. It's all good.
It's funny because mass extinction. Anyway, how's your sandwich?
I haven't eaten it yet. It's full of meat now, and now I feel self-conscious.
The cow already died. That land was burned years ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, well, that's fine then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This might be Texas meat, though, too. Who knows?
Sure. And that's how supply and demand works.
Yeah. Meat in America. I don't want to eat on a sandwich on the air. When I was over there, going to be assembling shit over there, that was going to be fine.
Yeah.
I have my assembling stuff off.
So you're not going to eat it on the air, but you've got it sitting in front of you.
I'm waiting for conversations to start that I can find a way to sneak out.
So I've been on a no mammals kick, and that's been going okay so far.
You don't eat mammals?
Yeah. You know, so like cetacean ones are easy to avoid. Like, you know, it's not often that I got the opportunity to eat, like, you know, blue whale.
You don't like crustaceans? What?
I'm not a big crustacean fan. Sometimes I'll eat crustacean.
But what about my
starfish or whatever? Huh?
So what about your starfish?
Yeah. Well, you know, a little bonus dolphin in there. But so that whole genus is easy to avoid. Kingdom, phylum? Is that a phylum or a class?
Mammal?
No. The cetacean, you know, like dolphins and whales and shit. At what level is that all an umbrella?
I think it is an order, but they don't really use that hierarchy anymore.
So they're easy to avoid in general, and I don't get much opportunity at, like, monkey either. So it basically boils down to no lamb or goat, or pig or cow.
If you were on the set of Temple of Doom, would you have eaten the monkey?
What a weird, random, like, I think Andy and I were talking about this on the car ride, either to or from the WITC, but what a weird, just super racist scene to have in your movie.
Unnecessarily.
Just completely unnecessarily. You could have had a normal dinner conversation scene, but instead you're like, all Indian people eat live snakes because they're gibbering savages. The end. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, it's the 80s. Like, you could have shown regular Indian food, and you could have been made racist jokes about it, and America would have eaten it up.
They kind of did in the scene before that with the village, with how grossed out she was by, like, some kind of a, you know, curry paste, and that's still racist, but goddamn live snakes?
So it might have been something like this. They were playing host to foreigners. They might have actually made that dinner just to make it.
So you're saying this was the gringo challenge?
Yeah, probably.
That one guy eats the snakes.
Well, you know.
Is he just really committed to the prank?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I say, whenever you do the gringo challenge, you have the one guy who's willing to eat the habanero sauce.
Yeah, sure. The Mikey. You have to have one Mikey in your group that can... So he eats anything.
Some kind of a Southeast Asian Ashton Kutcher was going to just jump out and tell Dr. Jones that he got punked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel like, punked.
Just rip his heart out.
Is it Kali Ma is the one who did that? Yeah. No, I mean it might have honestly...
That would have made that movie more enjoyable.
If it was a punk episode?
Maybe the whole thing was...
So at this point, episode four, to make the movie better, we're expecting Ashton Kutcher to become a time traveler.
No, I would expect like 2 year old Ashton Kutcher to run around. Punked.
Episode four.
I was talking about Crystal Skull, but
Crystal what?
Yeah, exactly.
Crystal meth.
Crystal Pepsi.
Crystal Pepsi was a prank.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you ever?
I think
had
I
it?
Remember if there was a fourth Indiana Jones movie.
There's the. Have you seen the people who have drank the Crystal Pepsi that was originally from the early 90s.
Well, I drank Crystal Pepsi in the early 90s.
No.
Yeah, look at what happened.
Nowadays.
Cause and effect. I had a six-pack, chicks dug me, I was super smart and rich, and then just drank one Crystal Pepsi. It's like meth, not even once.
Yeah. Now it's just White Claw.
Yeah. Crystal Pepsi, White Claw, Zima, just like, stop it.
Yeah.
Only drink brown things.
Brown things?
Bourbon and Coke. Yeah. That's all you need.
All the, you know, brown.
Coke is white.
Any kind of a whiskey, brandy, rums.
Mm-hmm. Coffee.
Meanwhile, the clear alcohols, the vodkas and the ginses of the world, those are the bad ones. Water, that's the worst. Everyone who drinks water ever has died.
That is a very true statement.
Yep.
You drink too much of it, you will die too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're surrounded by oceans of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not even supposed to drink that.
No.
This
falls
out
of
the
sky.
So we're back to lighting everything on fire, right?
Well, if you set yourself on fire, you can go anywhere. And that was proven by Stormy.
If we can set the oceans on fire, we'll be safe. We're getting there.
I've seen that documentary from the Soviet Union. Yeah. It did not end well.
Didn't we play test part of that in Lake Erie?
Yeah.
The Cuyahoga in Cleveland that has caught on fire multiple times.
Yeah.
I mean, property values went up.
Yeah, I mean, this is the... Cleveland.
They go from like $5 to $6.
I mean, if you lived in Cleveland, you would pay more money to watch the fire the lake burn.
Sure.
Considering our environmental protection laws going there, was that like last week?
Yeah.
That Cleveland caught on fire? Oh, sorry.
They were nostalgic for it.
Yeah. I blame Seth MacFarlane.
I had a good friend of mine that was going to school in Cleveland. I was flying over Cleveland, going between New York and Kentucky at one point. And I sent him an email when I got on the ground. It's like, yeah, I was flying over Cleveland, and it's strange. It looks like a tumor from the air. And he's like, you know, it's like, that's a coincidence, because it looks like a tumor from the ground, too.
That's a great comedy thing that Joe, I almost said Seth Rogen. Joe Rogan did one of his comedy things. He was talking about how basically population centers in the world basically look like a cancer when you're looking at them from the air. It's, and they're just consistently growing.
Yeah,
and
it's growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I mean, you know the upside of climate change, though. We can now imagine a future without Florida.
I'm in.
I mean, or we won't have to imagine it.
I honestly feel that this is a full-on scheme by Lex Luthor.
I mean, Ben Shapiro had a great, you know, point. Like, if all those people who live in Florida are worried about the water level rising and destroying their homes, they can just sell their homes and move away.
Yeah.
Good point, Ben.
Yeah. No, I think it's just another elaborate scheme by Lex Luthor.
Yep.
Because what Superman movies have told me is that property value is going up, especially if you make a new beachfront. Yeah. They're like sinking half of California, you know, making your own island off the coast of New York.
And then there's whatever the fuck was going on in Batman v Superman with Jesse Eisenberg's Joker Luthor, whatever the fuck that thing was.
I don't consider him in that
what
canon. I don't consider that
the hell
canon,
like I feel there's so much other weird shit in that movie that people forget that was the most nonsensical character in the history of superhero movies.
I forgot Lex Luthor was in that movie.
Yeah,
he was Eisenberg. The sad part though is there's a sequence in there where Lois Lane is up on a roof with Lex Luthor, and Lois Lane is like twice his size. Like she knows what horrible things that he's doing. Why doesn't she just throw him off?
Because she's a lady. They're weak and sad, and Superman's got to protect them.
She was busy filling
out
paperwork.
She like Martha?
Yeah, or it was just badly written.
Oh, it might be that.
That theory has a lot of explanatory power.
No. That's just badly written?
Yes.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the author of that film and the Justice League has gone on to write Star Wars Episode 9. So we have that to look forward to.
Yeah, I don't think everything he's done has been absolutely shit. I'd have to look at the IMDb on it.
That pretty much is everything he's done. There's a couple short films. I think he's got like one other theatrical film besides a Batman v Superman and Justice League. I'm pretty sure there's only one other movie he did.
But I mean, there's so many producers out there. So something that was pointed out to me is basically almost every single superhero film that you can think of in from 2000 on has been produced by Kevin Feige. Like almost everything, including Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, Daredevil, fucking just about everything has been done by Kevin or produced by Kevin Feige. You go down his production credits, it's just all superhero movies. All
right. So Argo is the only other thing he's done. Argo was good.
So Argo was a true story that all he had to do was adapt, and the things that were changed about the true story to be fictionalized are all terrible.
Fair.
I guess Kevin Smith made Yoga Hosers, but I still like Clerks.
Well, yeah, that's the other way around. Imagine if Kevin Smith had only done Yoga Hosers and Tusk, and then they're
Tusk
like...
Tusk is okay.
The best part
out
about
of,
this
out of all of them, probably Jersey Girl is probably his single-handedly worst film.
I do like how this is the most disgusted Nathan has looked tonight. Like, he's accepted climate change and our political state, but he's angry at Andy for Tusk.
Tusk! Yeah. Tusk!
It's just about a guy who wants to turn somebody into a walrus.
Yeah, I know what it's about. I know it's about the Mac guy being turned into a walrus.
Yeah.
And that's the movie.
Hey, yeah. Andy, I'm going to give you some free legal advice. Uh-huh. You should probably eat your sandwich before Nathan takes it from you.
No. I'm going to let it
sit. It ain't your mouth it's going into once I get a hold of it.
It'll digest differently.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this movie.
Yeah, it's this guy kidnaps that one kid who was in the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC ads, and then he just turns him into a walrus. And not with, like, magic or anything, just with the power of a needle and thread and extra skin. Yeah, that's the whole movie. This dude's like, I want a pet walrus. You'll do. And then he gets a cutting and sewing. And then the credits roll.
What?
Yep.
Yep, it's a Kevin Smith joint.
Did you know this was part of going to be a trilogy?
Tusk.
Tusk and Yoga Hosers and Moose Jaws.
Okay. Well, I love the idea. It's of handy Moose that Jaws. All three of his terrible movies will be shoved into one trilogy for us.
I mean, Tusk made him money.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. It cost a nickel to make, and people watched it out of morbid curiosity.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yoga Hosers, on the other hand, did not.
No. Fucking Tusk.
It's not that bad.
Is this what Haley Joel Osment came back to acting for?
For Tusk?
Good Lord.
For Yoga Hosers.
No, he was in Tusk. And Yoga Hosers.
The Jay and Silent Bob reboot looks entertaining, at least.
It's all right. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I saw it in the theater, and I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed that Got High song at the end. Mm-hmm. And then I've never watched it again.
I've watched it a few times. I still have it on DVD, but...
Like Clerks 2, I saw in the theaters. It was not too bad, and then I've never watched it again.
No, Clerks 2 is so good.
Like, Clerks I've watched 100 times, and the other ones I just have no impulse to do
You probably might, you might say much a little bit. I think you might stab me, though, but I seriously like Clerks 2 more than Clerks.
Yeah, you know, you're wrong, and that's okay.
No.
I mean, Clerks 2 is a cleaner made film, but... everything else about it is bad.
Sure, Clerks 1 was shot with a sandwich as the camera.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I like the... I identify more with the characters in their environments in Clerks 2 than Clerks 1.
Yeah, I mean, you still got Randall, and Randall's all that matters. But the mm-hmm. like, it's...
I'm taking it back.
It yes. There's a rawness and originality and a realness to Clerks 1, you know, that you can feel. Like, I was just watching a documentary about Ralph Bakshi this morning, because I watch a lot of Ralph Bakshi documentaries, and he was talking about how his movies are really badly done. Like, they're low budget, the animation's crude, the audio isn't clean, and that's fine, because that's not what the point is. And it's like, yeah, you know, and that's okay.
Sure.
Zappity.
That's my line. What the hell?
Unless we want to talk about Ralph Bakshi some more.
No.
What's your favorite Ralph Bakshi film?
Wizards.
I mean, that's a great choice. It's not Cool World. And actually, that's kind of the thing, is that Cool World is by far his cleanest film as far as like high budget Hollywood assistants, you know, and it is his worst film.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got nothing. I can't actually say I've seen any.
Andy just reared back and
you haven't seen Wizards face. Or the Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit or...
No.
That's okay.
I mean, they're early cartoons. I mean,
I mean, 60s to 80s.
Yeah.
He did 8 films in 11 years. I think it was like 68 through 79 or something like that. I think Fritz the Cat was 68. I'd have to double check.
Yeah, that was the first. That was the first theatric release, I believe.
And I don't think. I don't think my parents ever had.
Cool World was in the late 80s, wasn't it? Mid 80s.
Yeah.
86, I want to say.
Yeah.
No, I think it's probably even closer to 1990.
I got this one, Dan.
I'm going to say 87. That's my guess.
Ralph Bakshi directed film.
It might be easier to look up just Cool World.
Well, no, because I was going to have the whole list here for you. And then, you know, you'll have seen none of them, and that's fine. We'll still forgive you.
Yeah, I never really watched his stuff. Secret in Him is not him.
Oh, Andy, you should see Fire and Ice. Fire and Ice is basically just like a Frank Frazetta painting turned into a film. Like, it's Bakshi and Frank Frazetta together. It's just Conan, the animated movie. Fritz the Cat was 72, and then Heavy Traffic 73, Coonskin was 75, Wizard 77, Lord of the Rings 78. American Pop 81, Hey Good Lookin' 82, and Fire and Ice 83.
Cool World was 92. I thought it was earlier than that.
Oh.
So he did those. Yeah, so he did 8 films within 11 years, but Cool World was not one of those. That was his 9th film. It's just there was a big gap there. American Pop's super good, too. They're all good in their own way. No, they're not.
I think honestly, the only one I've actually seen is Cool World.
Out of unfortunate.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, somebody had posted something about Kevin Feige that I saw. We should probably make sure that whoever's buzzing is not on the mic.
That was a topic you wanted to talk about. Was the Spoodermans?
The Spoodermans. Oh, Spider-Man's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do your Kevin Feige thing, and then we can segue. We can leverage. But, we can twist.
Well, I mean, kind of one of the things that people are basically saying is like, oh, Kevin Feige, he hasn't done any. He's the magic man for Marvel Cinematic Universe, and he is. When he actually went on a mission to create a cohesive storyline between all these movies, yes, he is. But he has produced a lot of other superhero films. And unfortunately, a lot of them are bad.
Sure.
So going over his production credits, like he actually did X-Men, like the original X-Men.
It's all right.
Yeah. Did Spider-Man.
X-Men 1 and 2 were good.
And that
movies.
Was also X-Men 2 was him, too.
Yeah.
He did Hulk. So he was executive producer on that. With
the Ang Lee one?
With Daredevil?
Which I don't hate Hulk as much as most people hate Hulk. It has its problems, but there's some interesting stuff in there.
There's some amazing CGI work with the characters. Like the Hulk versus tanks sequence
Correct.
In there is so much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
He did,
and I super like that clever idea of what they did with his father and the whole Melting Man thing.
Yeah, turning him into the Absorbing Man and Zazax and a ton of different Hulk villains.
Yeah, that was super smart and clever. And anyone who doesn't like that is dumb, right, Andy?
Yeah. he was a co-producer on Daredevil. Not the Netflix television series, the Ben Affleck joint.
That's all right. What about Elektra?
Yes.
Oh, no.
He was also on The Punisher, which is the Tom Jane one, and that one's awesome.
What about the other Punisher, the second one?
Spider-Man 2.
Everybody likes Spider-Man 2.
Yep.
Yeah.
Blade Trinity.
Is it? That was the bad Blade.
I don't see Blade on this one.
Blade Trinity.
It's so bad it's been scrubbed from other parts of the internet.
The Fantastic Four? The original Fantastic Four.
No, the
Roger Corman one?
The 2005.
Yeah, I mean, what I call the original one. The Roger Corman one is a masterpiece in its own vacuum.
Yes. Many Roger Corman things are masterpieces in their own twisted way.
He did Elektra, he did X-Men Last Stand, Spider-Man 3, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, The Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Punisher Warzone.
Well, Punisher Warzone is amazing and has one of the biggest laugh out loud moments in any film ever for me. And once you, Incredible Hulk's one of the Marvel films, so you're already into the Marvel there.
Yes. Yeah. Was Incredible Hulk, did that actually? It
that
just
was
has the listing that's in here. I thought Iron Man was first and then Hulk second.
No. They both came out in 2008.
Yeah.
I think Iron Man came out first, but I don't know order of production. Yeah.
Or Iron Man was the first one anybody cared about. That's also possible.
I mean, he did the executive produce probably one of my favorite cartoons from that series from Marvel, which is Hulk Versus.
Hulk Versus is good. Is Both halves of Hulk Versus are very good.
Great Thor little mini movie and a great Deadpool little mini movie.
Yep. I think it was Nolan North in that one.
I believe so. Well, Nolan North did the voice in the video game.
Yeah, but I think that was him in that as well.
I think so, too.
Strike a pose.
Yeah, so. But, I mean.
Spider-Man versus Sony versus Disney.
Yeah.
Who cares?
No.
I care. I care because they, out of that relationship, produced probably the best version of Spider-Man.
Correct.
Just full-on best version.
Like, the last five Spider-Man live-action films are the only Spider-Man live-action films that you don't have to apologetically shrug for when you talk about how good they are. Like, the first two Sam Raimi ones were fun, but they're incredibly cheesy and dated. The third Sam Raimi one is just a train wreck, but you can blame studio interference for that, but that doesn't change the fact that it is. And then the two Andrew Garfield movies are both
garbage.
Yes. Like laughably
bad. There's some amazing sequences in there. Like we've talked about on the podcast before. Yeah. The whole Gwen Stacy death sequence was it was actually really beautifully shot, beautifully done. And yeah,
that was a good 4 seconds in that 90 something minute long abomination. I think it was too. Why did the electric eels fix his teeth?
You know, hey.
What?
Yeah. Why was Jamie Foxx basically taking a page out of Jim Carrey's book when he became the Riddler? Because that's his character that he was in that movie. He was basically the Riddler.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx falls into a bucket of electric eels, and they electrocute him, and that turns into Mr. Electric Man. And during that happening, the camera zooms in on his gap tooth, and his gap teeth move together so he doesn't have the gap teeth anymore. Yeah, that's the correct response. Like, it's kind of like they're like, oh, you know, when the Spooderman got the bits by the Spooder and then he gets all strong and so now he don't need no glasses no more? Well, I guess Electric Eel Boy's got the teeth that are good now. Same thing. Makes sense.
And fixes his eyesight.
Well, yeah. I mean, he doesn't even have teeth anymore. He's made of electricity, which apparently is a thing then. Because for a while, he's just a dude that can do electricity. Then all of a sudden, he's able to just literally go into the wires and zap around and stuff. So it's like, wait, why do you even have a body?
What? Yeah. Yeah, I've...
What? How can you be punched? Spider-Man punches him. He doesn't exist.
I made it through that film, unfortunately.
We had to start that movie over.
No, that was the first one.
Was it the first one?
It was the first one. It was the one where it starts off with,
yeah,
fucking,
with his parents are spies,
and they've got like a giant chalkboard, and they have written on there all the Spider-Man stuff on it. When their kid is, I mean, like four, maybe two,
whatever.
What?
Yeah, his parents are super spies.
Yeah.
I have glad a secret super spy layer under the New York subway that you have to use a special token and a special subway turnstile. And then it opens up the ground and a subway car comes up and then you ride that car down into a super secret super spy lab. That's what I go to my Spider-Man movies for.
What?
He had to take a break from fighting Electric Man and Leprosy Boy to go into his Spider-Man parents' labs.
Thinking about it, though, basically what they did for the Marvel cinematic version of Spider-Man, they just replaced Ma and Pa with Tony Stark.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that just goes with the basic thing, which is what they did, is they replaced everything from that movie with a competent writer.
Yeah. But basically, my takeaway from the Sony versus Disney thing is that it's karmic justice. Because if it wasn't for Disney's lawyers battling for the last 70 years to make sure that Mickey Mouse never hit the public domain, they could already have Spider-Man in all their movies. And James Bond, and Bilbo Baggins, and whoever the fuck else they wanted, because they would all be public domain by now if it weren't for Disney's lawyers. So it's their own goddamn fault.
I don't want to see that movie.
You wouldn't want to see James Bond as part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe teaming up with him?
No.
How dare you, sir?
No. Considering how great the last Bond movies have been.
I like half of the Daniel Craig movies.
Also, I mean, yeah, we're not saying that Daniel Craig or the writing team for the Daniel Craig movies are involved, just the character.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Fury is not that far from James Bond.
Correct. You make him British and suaver, and you have James Bond.
I mean, isn't that just Luther?
Sure.
Lex Luthor?
No, Lex Luthor isn't British or suave. He's a crazy little short tech guy, remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You saw that Jesse Eisenberg movie.
He made his Facebook.
Yeah.
I just don't feel that Sony is going to do that character justice, and we're going to be in the same boat after Sony puts out the next movie.
How can you say that after the zero good Spider-Man movies Sony has made?
Mm-hmm. They made one. They made one good film. Into the Spider-Verse.
I feel that Sony didn't give two fucks about that movie, so it was made despite them. Then they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll release this, and it got, you know, successful.
It actually won awards.
Yeah. There is no way that was something that Sony as a studio, company was overseeing and manipulating and controlling. Because if that was a studio-made film, there's no way they would have done it the way they did it. You would not have Spider-Ham in that movie if there was studio execs that gave a shit.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just, to me, it just, like I said, it really sucks because we're going to lose the best version of Spider-Man we've pretty much ever seen. And
Tom Holland's still going to be in those movies. He's just going to have badly written movies to be in.
Yeah.
But Marvel can continue, and they just need to have Night Monkey in all their movies, and they'll be fine, because Sony doesn't own Night Monkey.
Does Sony own Tom Holland?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they legally own him, no. So Tom Holland can concurrently make Marvel movies, not as Spider-Man, but as Night Monkey.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
And see, have the next movie start, and then he just offhandedly talks to Aunt May about how he had to change his name because of, you know, because all Jameson, the stuff. And they never say what he turned his name away from. Because you can't use those names. He said, yeah, I had to change my name, so now I'm, you know, I'm Patrick Parker. And they're good.
There was somebody who ended up posting, a sequence with Deadpool. And was basically still like Deadpool 3 opens up and with him and Tom Holland.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
In some type of Sony protection program. It was like, shh, we can't talk to him about this. And then like in the background, there's like Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire walking by.
Oh, Andrew Garfield. You never had a chance.
Yeah, I felt he acted well in those films. He was too pretty boy, really, to be Peter Parker.
It's not Jake Lloyd's fault Anakin sucked either, so.
That's true, too. I think it was a mixture of both. Jake was also not a very good actor either.
He was mid-tier for a child actor. The problem is we're so spoiled when we get the occasional really amazing child actor that we forget that most child actors are garbage. So. Yeah. He was pretty center of the bell curve, I think.
Yeah, you have to grade him against 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
I guess we've always been spoiled by Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, they're not all going to be Haley Joel Osment or Dakota Fanning. Or Chloe Grace Moretz. She was really good, too. Gary Coleman.
Thank you,
Abigail
for that.
Breslin.
You're just naming off child actors now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shirley Temple.
You're forgetting a very important one. It was integral to our childhood.
Shirley Temple.
No, not our childhood.
It's your childhood. You wasn't watching old Shirley Temple films on TMC.
Manuel Lewis.
Yeah, no, I said.
No, no.
I said Gary Coleman. I came from a different Strokes household. You take your Webster shit off my block.
What?
I'm with Nathan here.
Webster.
What?
Yeah.
That house was amazing. I wanted a house like that so much. They have all the fucking secret rooms and shit you can go in there.
Wouldn't even know. I came from a different Strokes household.
That could be the next Crippled System t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I've watched a single episode of Webster.
What?
Sorry, I didn't watch a terrible 80s sitcom that's been forgotten.
Yeah, what was the old guy's name? Mr. Drummond?
Sure.
I had George Papadopoulos. All right, Zappity.
I mean, I don't have a response to that.
Sure.
That is indeed a statement of fact about the characters that were on Webster versus Different Strokes. You have successfully listed character names.
My sandwich is really good.
It has meat and mayonnaise and cheese.
And bread.
The mayonnaise.
It is all of the fat. So.
Keeps on getting into my...
All right.
Yeah, I'm supposed to give this to you. News. Yeah, I already gave that a thumbs up. But good old Week of World News. Nostradamus predicts the end of the world as we know it. Starts with an earthquake, birds and planes, and aeroplanes. Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
Yeah.
Front page, baby. Also, Michael Stipe reports, I feel fine. Tangentially related to that.
We're all fucked.
This evening, no, I was going with happier news. This evening, I believe at 10 Eastern, Good Eats back on the Food Networks. It's related to that because Alton Brown did music videos before that show. That's where he started out. He was a cinematographer for music videos before he did the cooking. But yeah, Good Eats the Return comes back. The first episode's available on YouTube right now. It's Chicken Cacciatore. I lied. It's not Chicken Cacciatore. It's Chicken Parmesan. It's a good episode. I watched it.
I need to watch that yet.
I mean, Good Eats, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah.
Never watch it. I assume it's just a cooking show with Alton Brown.
Yes, it is a well-done cooking show.
No, it is not just a cooking show. No. No. No.
What is it then?
That's like saying Bill Nye is just a science show.
He is. He's a science guy.
No.
He gives us shit with a bow tie.
Most cooking shows was just somebody standing behind a counter going, I'm making a thing.
Hold on. So is Good Eats just a cooking show with a bow tie?
Good Eats is the Bill Nye the Science Guy of cooking shows.
Yes.
I was going to say, doesn't Alton Brown wear a bow tie almost all the time?
No.
He's usually no tie, but he will wear a bow tie.
Yeah, he's okay with bow ties. He might have worn a bow tie in his episode of Hot Ones.
I think so.
I don't remember. I was driving.
Yeah.
I've yet to see the Stone Cold Steve Austin one. He's supposed to be on
He tapped out, I think.
He did?
No. I don't know. I haven't watched that one either yet. But I can imagine some of the tougher people tap out because, you know, the physical pain versus the... like, there's a difference about poisoning yourself.
It was also interesting reading through the list of Hot Ones episodes and where they started versus where they're now for the hot end of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, season one, the hot end was, like, 350,000 Scoville units, and now they're up to, we have to sign a waiver before we can have them eat this.
But the weird thing is like they all get destroyed right around Da Bomb, and I think that's because Da Bomb also tastes like ass in addition to being really hot. It's just an unpleasant sauce that nobody would want to eat. But like they do all this buildup, and they're like weeping and begging for mercy and crying, and then there's never any reaction to the last dab, which is like 3 million Scoville units. They're just like, done, plug my movie. And I don't know if it's just that like all the pain sensors are dead by that point.
Probably. Yeah,
there's a certain point where burns stop hurting.
Right.
The annoying part is, though, is whatever the middle ground sauce that they used to make,
yeah,
you can't find it anymore because they only made a small batch of it.
I found a website that did a whole bunch of like taste testing and looking around, and they found some other brand of hot sauce that is near indistinguishable in a blind taste test. So, okay. So we got that going for us, at least. I'll see if I can scrounge that up again.
Okay.
You okay? Did your brain come out your nose?
I think it tried.
Zappity.
Grumble.
All right.
Yeah, are there more before we go into that monstrosity?
Yes, there are three more. All right. First one. Top five casters with an O.
With an O.
Assyrian.
What? Assyrian?
No, is it?
Wait. Assyrian, you mean?
Yeah.
Awesome. Him. Oh, okay.
I was mixing two casters together.
It's like just a random person from Syria. You're just like, I really like Assyrian.
Okay, the harbinger of Min-Oth.
Yeah.
Why did you say it that way?
To accentuate that there's an O in it.
There's an O in.
There's an O in of.
Yeah.
Okay, that works too.
Also, you accentuated the syllable with an E. Instead of the one with the O.
Oh.
Instead of being like men off, you're like mean off.
He Gandalfed it.
No. I'm so confused. I mean, if of works, you have Lord Carver, bringer of most massive destruction, Esquire the Third. And I think that might be the only O in the... No, Lord. Lord as well, yeah. But like,
and most.
All right, there's a lot of O's in that one.
Gareth,
destruction.
Eye of Vengeance.
Yeah, yeah. Arcadius, Pharaoh, Warlock. There's an O in Pharaoh and Warlock, and I'm going to cheat and do it. Fuck you.
It's Obulus.
So you can pick anything.
Obulus?
So,
wrong game.
So then Makeda 3, because she's also a Warlock.
Nope, because I already did that joke.
Man.
Ha ha! Find your own loophole.
Basically, every single fucking Everblade. Caster, because they're the eye of something, blah blah blah, of something. Yeah,
they all have O's, but so then what's to Barg?
Zappity.
Grumble.
Weekly World News. Best way to enter Monpok for an aspiring player.
Starter set. They're good starter sets. Like, some of the, like, War Machine starter battle groups back in the day were really bad ways to start War Machine. That's not the case with either of the Monpok starters. They're both safe buys.
The nice thing about them, too, is, or for pretty much all of Monpok, is if you just buy a monster and then get the pack A and pack B of whatever units that they have, that's a good starter, too.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Mm. But, yeah, the starter sets won't do you wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
Zappity.
Burm burp.
Model kit you hated building.
Steelhead halberdiers.
No.
There were...
You have other people assemble them for you.
I destroyed a coffee table doing my steelhead halberdiers. Like, it started with just, like, stabbing the goddamn coffee table in rage, like, between steelhead halberdiers. Fucking terrible. Goddamn terrible. The worst thing about... I don't know if they've changed, if there's new steelhead halberdiers or not. But the ones back in the day, there was one that was holding its halberd like this, and one that was holding halberd like this, and those arms were not interchangeable. And if you tried to use the wrong arms with the wrong halberd, it was fucking impossible. And you can't tell this from this in a goddamn... No! What fucking sociopath designed those things?
Okay, so I recently assembled a new box of steelhead halbs. And I had one of the halberds itself was mispacked, that I had an extra one of the an extra one of one type and not enough of another.
Sure.
So I converted it, and it was easy to convert in a simple.
Gah, no, that was the old ones.
Yeah.
The other inexcusable one, it's not a bad set to assemble in general, but I'll never fucking understand, is the Rune Shapers. They're holding one of them, he's holding his hands like this, except one of the hands has the thumb like that. And so because of that, that left hand's thumb had to be a separate bit because they couldn't cast it because of the gap.
Yeah.
Why not have both hands just be flat like the right hand is?
Sure.
Who, like, when you design that, just move the fucking thumb.
I don't even think that the thumb placement is... I think it's almost exactly the same on both hands.
Almost exactly. And that's what makes it so egregious. It's, like, barely moved. But it's moved just enough where the mold couldn't release it, so they had to do it as a separate piece, which is so nonsensical.
But would that be the thing that you hated assembling?
No, which is why I prefaced the Rune Shaper saying that doesn't qualify, but it just makes no goddamn sense.
Sure.
It's definitely steelhead halberdiers. A lot of people will say Nis Hunters, but those fucking halberdiers. After assembling three goddamn units of them, I had to buy a new coffee table.
I think probably the kit that was the most obnoxious for me to put together was the Devil Shadow Mutineers.
Yeah.
Those were just it was three unique sculpts, and every single one was shitty to put together.
Oh, goddamn roller on the meat thresher.
Yeah. No, I remember you. God. I remember you literally throwing your meat thresher across the store.
No.
Assembling it.
I did not throw my meat thresher across the store. I threw my X-Acto knife at the table like a lawn dart and barely missed Jim. I was angry. Similar to that with the goddamn circles. Fuck this question. Rocinante.
Rocinante.
No, you're thinking of Tortilla.
Oh, yeah, Tortilla.
Rocinante. That's just such a... joke. Yeah, that is a rabbit hole of inside jokes right there. In Madison, Gallant is called Tortilla. So just be aware of that fact. Tortilla.
It's Tortilla pronounced...
No, it was Tortilla, because people were talking about there was tortilla, and the one guy's like, no, it's Tortilla. Like, this one person's calling it Tortilla. But that same person, if you said Gallant, he'd be like, oh, it's French, so it's pronounced Gallant. It's like, you pronounce tortilla Tortilla, and you're going to fucking correct us on Gallant? So Gallant is Tortilla, just to cause fuck that guy. Hi, Jeff. Yeah. But anyway.
This is how War Machine works in Madison.
So, Damiano. Rocinante. His goddamn cannon arm.
Mm-hmm.
There's the cannon and then the hand holding the cannon and then two separate bits that are chains.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to glue all four of those together, like, simultaneously in order to get the angles correct. So you have like 7 points of contact on 4 different pieces of metal that you have to glue all at the same time and somehow hold until it hardens.
So what you're saying, what happens is this happens and the model falls into 4 pieces.
No, it doesn't fall into 4 pieces. It stays in one piece inside of the four fingers that have glued themselves to those points of contact because there was no safe place to hold them. So you end up with Rosinante fist.
Okay. So they didn't actually specify what gaming system?
They did not.
Oh, yeah. So mine is not Privateer Press. So there is a much greater
company. Yeah, I vented enough. Move on. Somebody else.
I just want to say, for an honorable mention, all of the newer horses that are all on the same type that have ankles that are 2 millimeters thick and snap.
Oh, the shovel faces?
Yeah.
You want to talk new 2 millimeter ankles? Let's turn the table over to the Guild Ball players.
Okay.
I wasn't even really going over them at all. But,
2 millimeters is generous on those fuckers.
But it's not every fucking model has to be on their goddamn tippy toes.
Tippy toe.
Tippy toe as well. So, like, there's a...
They'll all be 1 foot up like a flamenco.
Well, sure. Yeah. It's the dynamic pose for someone about to kick a ball.
Yeah.
It's also an awful goddamn model pose. Yeah.
So, not going to be great on the visual podcast or on the audio podcast, but
sounds
I'm going
like
to show both of you. There is a model.
Let's climb up on the table.
You dig your thing out while I rant. Are you going to?
No, I'm going to do the pose.
Please don't stand on the rolly chair. I don't know how
I'm
to stop the
stand
stream.
On the rolly chair. it's the ultimate version of Fathom. It's actually a really nice looking resin piece, except for has 1 foot planted down.
Yeah.
The other foot standing on something.
Yeah.
And then it's on the tippy toe.
So he's Captain Morganing it.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. There's no reason. And then that.
But at least both of his feet are on the ground. Like that's
her. But that's fine. Go ahead.
I thought I said both those feet. Did I not?
No, you said her. Or you said his feet.
Whichever.
But anyway.
At least both those feet are on the ground. I saw the one where it's like somebody like, almost like they're doing like the Zen flower pose, but up on 1 foot.
Yeah.
I mean, Yukai is a special kind of evil as far as model assembly. Because that's also from their, I think, soon to be former resin supplier who didn't understand how to mix resin correctly. So it's both flexible and brittle at the same time.
Yeah. It most definitely is something not thick enough to be able to support even like a paper cut.
I am really happy that the Butchers were the last team that company is producing for Steamforge. And they are cutting all ties and moving all production to a different company. Because that company did not understand how to cast resin. Like, it might be worse than Finecast.
Well...
Yeah. Like Finecast actually
cleaner.
Wasn't that bad, except for
the first generation Finecast was terrible, and then after that it got
well. But
a lot
the first
better.
Generation Finecast was an okay product. They just rushed it so everything had slip lines and stuff.
Yeah,
this is just not like
bubbles everywhere.
This is like the resin from the Old Witch Two Legs.
Yeah. It's no the model.
What's the name of the glass ball like thing that it like you can beat it with a hammer and it won't break, and then if you just like nip the tip the whole thing vaporizes into dust. It's like a Newton's drop or something.
Jacob's
like
drop or
whatever,
because
I was gonna make a joke about their model's ankles being made out of that,
but yeah, pretty much
now the time has passed, but you listeners at home, it would have been really clever.
The annoying part is especially about the Yukai, I've complained about it ad nauseum online. That's not always the resin maker's fault. That's the sculptor.
Prince Rupert's drop.
Sure.
Prince
Albert's
drop.
Which is different
Albert's
than a Prince Albert's drop. Sure. If you have a Prince Albert made out of a Prince Rupert's drop, be careful.
Yeah. That shit will shatter, and that's not good.
Ow.
But no, Yukai, there's no reason for him to have Yukai as in the character for Guild Ball.
Itai?
There was no reason for his leg to be that thin.
The sport of kings?
All right, I'm done.
No. His legs?
No. His.
They should do another game like Guild Ball, but it's Hiwai. It's the sport of kings.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the model that I absolutely hated assembling, going back to old Warhammer Fantasy, it was one of the first iterations of the Lizardmen, or now called Sephirim, or whatever they're fucking called now, because they need to copyright that name.
Why didn't they just do Lizardmen with all Y's as the vowels or something?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they did with like elves and orcs? They just kept the words but changed some vowels?
Some of them, yeah. But anyway, it was the Slaan Mage Priest.
Oh, God, I had one of
like,
those.
Like Sother.
Nope, it was
just the regular one?
Just the regular one with the guy with the 3 temple guard, that, or no, 4 temple guard that are holding him up. and trying to attach a temple guard to there and attach four temple guard that were all very flimsily attached onto it, and then put him on there and then try to get that onto two. It didn't have like a large base for it. It had two cavalry bases that you attached the temple guards to.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Brian Geezy going over and seeing one of our friends who played Warhammer Fantasy. He's like, ooh, that looks like a great model, and just touched it, and the thing just shattered into a ton of pieces.
That was a late 90s GW model?
Yeah.
On a related note, the first generation Orc Dreadnought, fuck that shit. It has been 20 years, and I still am angry.
Yeah,
I almost quit miniature games because of assembling that.
I bought two Gobber Tinkers when they first came out because I was going to run two Gobber Tinkers, and then I assembled the first Gobber Tinker, and then I altered my lists to only have one Gobber Tinker. Because that was another one of the, you have to glue 14 things simultaneously, otherwise it won't line up.
Yeah, the Orc one was bad because it had four arms that were metal with heavy instruments at the end of it.
Yeah.
On flat shear plane joints.
Yeah.
No nub, no peg, yeah, no nothing.
The Chaos Dreadnought from that era was similarly terrible, that I literally got one and never actually fielded it on the table and just took it out of my list because I could never actually get it working.
Yep, that looks about right.
Yep.
All four of those guys that are carrying them, all separate models.
And it's even on two different bases.
Yeah.
Why would you have it on two different bases?
Yep.
Just have one big base.
Well, that was before they made big bases.
Jesus.
Yep. I mean, you realize that this was from the era between when like nobody actually understood how to do this yet.
Yeah.
But it is a cool looking model.
Oh, yeah, because I remember when GW got the money for Lord of the Rings and then brought in digital sculpting and casting stuff, they had to also like get some mechanical engineers to explain how it worked because before this, it was like an actual manufacturing thing. And I'm pretty sure they just saw the designs and started laughing and like, let's explain gravity. Thankfully, this button on this CAD software will simulate it for you so you can watch this model fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things looking at the Privateer stuff is like the Privateer stuff has gotten a lot better, especially like the styrene plastic stuff. But you look at the way the sprues are laid out and you compared to the Games Workshop, and it's like, yeah, the people doing this have a lot less experience than the people doing it for Games Workshop.
I will say, you say it's from before people knew better, but H.G. Wells wrote the rules for Little Wars more than 100 years ago.
Yeah,
like, but I mean, it's not like Warhammer invented miniatures gaming. Get a bigger fucking base.
Yeah, but I will say though, as the mold.
But Nathan, it's a British game. It's two bases, but it counts as one.
Mm. And as a gentleman, you should move it careful enough that it doesn't just split in half like a wishbone.
Correct.
I mean, also, when this was happening, Games Workshop was still a relatively small company, and I don't think actually employed an industrial engineer at that time. And that's kind of one of I think at this point we're talking less about the design of the model and the art.
They're like 20 years in the business at the time that when that came out.
Yeah. That one was late 80s?
Yeah, they started in 75.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that model there came out, I believe it was
93,
94? That one's
past that point. I want to say it was, because it was after I got up back from the Army, so it was around 98, 99.
I think that version of it was, I think that version it was the of fifth it edition. Was older.
It was that was the fifth edition of the Mage Priest.
The Mage Priest I had was the floating one that was awesome, and that one's like 20 years old.
Yeah, that was sixth edition.
Yeah.
That was about 2000.
Anyways, we have to do this one, so Zappity.
Grumble.
Mm-hmm. All right. The truest Zappity Grumble. I'm even going to credit this one. From Andrew Grove. Describe, for good or bad, the following video game series as quick as possible and make a listener want to play it. Are we ready?
We're each going to shout out our own.
Each do one.
Yeah. So this is going to be full lightning round. Who wants to start?
I can see the first one, and I want to steal it from Andy. All right.
We'll start with this, and then go this way.
Yeah,
so that way.
Yes, we're gonna
We're gonna go anti Wittershins.
Okay.
Yep. No, we're gonna go Wittershins.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna go Wittershins because I think that'll be the most humorous.
Okay, perfect. So it's me and then you.
Yes.
Yep. Hi. So you're sniping the second one from both of these assholes.
Yeah. World of Warcraft.
Just get a second job.
Dead Cells. It's a grind. It's a fun grind, but it's a grind. Fallout.
Nuclear power suits.
Katamari.
Why?
Fair.
You're
all
supposed
right.
to make people want to play it.
No, it's for good or for bad. Describe the game.
Okay.
Madden.
Last year's version is $4.
Mass Effect. All your choices don't matter. The 100 hours is good, but your choices don't matter.
Yeah.
This is a life simulator by BioWare. Ketchup on steak.
That's you, Andy.
Wait, is that a game or?
I don't know if it's a game or trolling Nate, which is a good game.
Trolling Nate.
I mean, that is probably the best game on this list.
And, you know,
I mean, it's just like a quick.
It's a Kubarashi Maru style no way to win it game, like a Saw movie. But
no, it's a game that somebody made specifically for Nate. That in order to unlock his PlayStation, he has to play that game. It's just a very nice looking steak sitting on a plate with some mashed potatoes on the side, and it has just a hand with a ketchup bottle.
You got to lean you got to tilt
the controller to come out, and then it's still not going
to
come out.
So it's like a Wii game.
So you have to actually do that to it.
Yeah. And then do you use the nunchuck half of the Wii to shoot yourself in the head instead of eating it?
No, because this is one of those PlayStation Motion ones, so it's not going to work.
Yeah.
No. Also, when you shake it enough, it will just spill all out over there. So no matter, you may want to just get like a small dab in a corner. It's going to be all ketchup over that steak.
Remember when PlayStation like 6 Access first came out and they tried doing like motion control games and all of them were the worst anything ever, and now they don't bother anymore?
Yeah. Yep. Anyways, Final Fantasy.
Just, I mean, tactics. Tactics is the real one. Tactics.
Star Wars Battlefront. Metroid. I don't know.
Oh, Metroid.
Like, I'm sure it's fine.
You could just say it's a grind. It's a,
Metroid isn't a grind.
Metroid is not a grind.
I don't know. I've never played it.
Also, how come Metroid, it's Metroidvania, right, is the term for the genre, but Castlevania games weren't Metroidvania games for like 20 goddamn years. So really, how come we don't give a shout out to like one of the real originators of that style of game, Faxanadu? Should be like a Metroidanadu.
No, Faxanadu is really more of like a Metroid game.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how come the Metroidvania genre is named after Metroid, which is a style of a game in that style, and Castlevania, which for the first half of its lifespan wasn't?
I mean, this is just basically call outs to Symphony of the Night and its direct and it's conceptual.
Just saying they're latecomers. It should be a Metroidanadu.
No.
Well, I mean,
no. Faxanadu is horrible.
Okay.
Wait.
Hold up.
I still remember exactly how to spend all of my money when you first start the game so that the king will give you more money, because the game didn't program that the king will give you money once. It programmed so the king will give you money when you don't have any money. So you can cheat the system a little and get some extra money. Okay. That's capitalism.
Okay, experiment. We still have like another full loop.
Okay, so. experiment here, Dan. Have you ever heard of Faxanadu?
What?
Okay. That's why it's not a Metroidanadu.
Nathan and I, we have had this conversation probably about 200 episodes ago. I know Faxanadu. I was just giving him a shit.
Maybe people don't remember it because we don't call them Metroidanadus. Maybe Castlevania games have been limping along only based on that terminology. Yep.
That was Andy, top Mario Kart.
Top 10, if not top 5.
Go fast, but don't go too fast because otherwise you get hit by a blue shell.
Pokemon.
I only know about this because I have kids.
that's a great quote.
Of Pokemon.
XCOM.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Just leave it at that.
I am going to leave it at that.
BioShock. 2020 simulator.
Would you kindly play BioShock? See, that's a reference, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Animal Crossing.
The only reason why I know this exists because I don't have kids. I don't know.
There's that real sad story online about the guy with his dying mom in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, and his mom kept on sending letters.
Yeah.
Except for it's just the character in the game that was sending letters.
Which is the double joke of it.
Oh, that's so horrible.
Yeah.
And Batman Arkham.
Legitimately have not played it.
They're like they're rhythm games.
It's like Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah.
They're just Batman Gotham.
Legit, the programmers, that was what they did, is they did like a Parappa the Rapper and then just made that the combat. They based the combat off of rhythm games.
Oh, okay.
Because they figured that fighting's like a dance.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Which is why Arkham City sucks on a PC.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, Arkham City just sucks.
Well, no, I'm talking control-wise.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, wait, which one had all the Batmobile parts? Was that Arkham
Knight?
That's
the next one. Knight. Yeah.
Okay, Arkham Knight blew all of the ass.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That's where it jumped the shark.
Arkham City a lot. Yeah. You should really check out the Batman.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you should check out Faxanadu.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
you should check out Peanut Butter on a Steak.
What? Hmm? What? Wait, yeah, no, that's fine. Peanut Butter on a Steak could be okay, because it'll be like almost like Taiwanese.
No, no, you coat it in peanut butter, and then you sous vide it.
Oh, that that's definitely sounding like Taiwanese kind of style.
Then you scrape all the peanut butter off and cover it in mayonnaise and cook it up. This
I mean,
is what
white, so mayonnaise on steak is all. Dan. Originally, mayonnaise was a steak sauce.
Yeah. No. That's before you put it in the skillet.
White. Dan. Wouldn't the mayonnaise like break or melt? Where did this come from?
The internet.
Like, these things are all actually, these are all things that are magic in that they sound terrible on their face, but if you know anything about cooking, they actually don't sound terrible, and then they ruin them anyway. Yeah. Like, it loops back around. It's like horseshoe theory in cooking form.
Yes.
I mean, is that just the competition to, it's like, okay, find something that you immediately think, oh my God, that's terrible, and then 10 seconds later, it's like, that actually might be good.
And then ruin it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like milkshake.
Yeah. What's your spaghetti policy here? We ran out of Zappity Grumbles.
Yep,
that's it.
Well,
oh, we do recommendations now. That's yay. The format. I forgot how this works.
Yeah, we've only been doing it for, you know,
10
close
years,
to 300 episodes.
Jesus. Speaking of 10 years, fucking A, Inglourious Basterds came out a decade ago. How fast are our lives just bleeding away that movie was a decade ago?
I don't like to see. There's so many reminders of that. Like Speed Racer is really old.
Can I like in my mind, like Hateful Eight was like 2 years ago, and Inglourious Basterds was like two before that. Oh no, Django existed too. Fuck.
Think of this.
A decade.
Think of this. There has been enough time that has passed where people have forgotten about Matrix 1 and or 2 and 3 that they're willing to get Matrix 4. That's how much time has passed.
Yeah, no, so my wife and I are celebrating our 10-year anniversary in a week and a half, and we went to see Iron Man when we first started dating.
That's 2008. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to get depressed, we're coming up on the point where we could legitimately have a second generation Afghanistan widow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. September 11th attacks are old enough to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you remember the Little Mermaid? Uh-huh. Remember when it came out?
30 years ago.
I say, here, let's make you feel old. I can't.
The Little Mermaid came out closer to the moon landing than to the present day.
The moon landing didn't happen, though. It was proven by all the jet fuel and the steel girders.
I like the thing that says that the moon landing was fake and it was filmed by
Kubrick.
But yeah. Kubrick is such a stickler, he demanded they shoot on location.
I like that too. That's pretty good.
I do like the argument that there was a special effects guy was coming up and was arguing that literally they wouldn't have saved any money faking it at the quality it was done at.
Even then, we were talking about conspiracy theories. The amount of people that would have to keep that a fucking secret, basically going to their grave, or even anybody on their deathbed would, you know, say like, oh yeah, we filmed it in Nevada.
I mean, there's a reason that I know of zero conspiracy theory people who are project managers.
Yeah.
Because you also have to assume that for 50 years, the plan has worked perfectly.
Yeah.
And like, I can't keep my team on track for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now this is why I said that everybody that thinks that global warming is a conspiracy of scientists has never met a scientist and has never been in the room with two scientists at the same time.
Hey, because, you guys don't agree on what coffee is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is like, if you cannot have two scientists agree on the answer to a question. And if you add a third scientist to the room, all of a sudden you can't agree on what the question was in the first place.
Zappity.
Yeah. Grumble. Recommend
the thing about how soy vanilla latte is three bean salad. Did I bring that up on a previous episode? Because that kind of broke my brain a little bit. The soy vanilla latte is a three bean salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've been recommending a lot of video games recently, so I'm going to recommend a video game. because why break with tradition? I did not realize this until I saw a video reviewing it, and apparently they did a remaster re-release of Grandia and Grandia 2, and Grandia might be, like, it is one of, if not my most favorite RPG ever made. I fucking love the original Grandia. I think a lot of the mechanics are just brilliantly instituted. It's a fun storyline. It's not overly heavy, but it still has some drama to it, and it just, it plays beautifully. The fact that none of its mechanics were copied or aped for future games is shocking to me, because so much about it is perfect. And you can get the remaster of Grandia and Grandia 2 for like $30 right now.
On what platforms?
I know you can get it on the Switch at the very least. Mm-hmm. I think it's cross-platform. I'd be surprised if it's not on everything. I only check the Switch because that's all I play things on anymore, except for my free games that I can get on the PS3 and stuff that won't come out on Switch, like Borderlands 3. I'm still deciding what I'm going to get Outer Worlds on, but I hear it's on the Switch, so I might just get that on the Switch too.
I don't know if it'll run that great on it. Mm-hmm. You should just get it for your PS4.
I might. I mean, I haven't decided, but...
That's a game that probably will require mods, so PC.
No, I'll do what I always do with like those style of games. I'm going to get it on the console first, mm-hmm. and I'll play for the next like 4 years on the console.
Sure. Oh,
and then by then the PC version will cost $5, sure. and I'll download that and get mods.
Plus, you want to play it vanilla at least once.
Correct.
Got it.
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't like modding it until after I've beaten it.
I mean, even for like Fallout, I didn't like do the structural mods at first, but it irritated me that 250 years after the apocalypse, there was no green.
Sure.
So yep. That got fixed right away.
Yep. It's just my computer is garbage, and I'm a console guy at heart, and so I always go console by default if I have a choice.
Okay, that's fair.
But yeah, and eventually I'll just buy a second copy for $5. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Okay. I don't have a lot interesting to talk about because I have been sciencing all week and working 16-hour days until my conference submission was due literally 1 hour before the WITC. So I'm just going to cop out and recommend War Machine team tournaments, because team tournaments have always, to me, been the most fun, the most interesting, and just honestly exciting way to play the game and participate in the community.
The extra tactical level of like the pairing system is really neat. I've never gotten to play in one. I might for Michigan.
I've never been played in one either.
I always run them.
That's basically my thing too. Nathan, we should be on a team. So then we would just be really confused with the tactician part of it.
Tactician?
Like, yeah, when you're doing the assigning of the team.
You just walk through each other.
The ability. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I wouldn't be confused by tactician. I'm surprised when my opponent's army has it, but I'm not confused by it. It's very clean cut. I just lost the game.
Yeah, I mean, it makes moving around the convention hall much easier.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Nigel. Crap.
So I guess I'll go with my recommendation. My recommendation is to watch The Terror. So Terror Infamy.
Watch him kill your parents?
No. What?
That's what Arthur did. He watched The Terror kill his parents.
He didn't. No. No.
Arthur killed some people.
Arthur watched the Flag 5 ship fall on top of his dad.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Terror was involved.
Legally speaking,
the Terror might be responsible.
He might.
It's kind of like felony murder, where even if you didn't do the murder, you were involved in the felony, and so it passes on.
I mean, he is the one who put syphilis into. I can't think of the shooting. What's the Overkill's original name? You're not helping.
Nope. Anyway, watch The Terror.
Yeah, watch The Terror. So The Terror Infamy has just started. I would highly recommend watching the first season of The Terror. It is completely different. It looks like that they're setting it up as being just a storyline with something supernatural or something thrown into it. They kind of base things in reality. So the original Terror was two ships, the ship called The Terror and the Erebus, trying to find the Northwest Passage and getting caught up in ice.
It did not end well for them.
It did not. I mean, and that's actually, I believe, based on a true story.
Yes, itself. That part is true. It did not end well for them. And I think the one or two people that survived only survived because they ate the rest of the group that they were with.
Yeah.
So they were rugby players.
Correct. Yes. And then so the second season is taking place during World War II. right as the America joins the war, because it happens basically December 6th and 7th is the first 2 days of...
this is the worst season of 24 ever.
Yeah. but yeah, it stars George Takei's in it.
Yeah.
It's pretty creepy and good so far. It's on AMC.
So start of the World War II with George Takei, I'm sure it's all about like our brave troops and going out and fighting and stuff. That's what it focuses on, right?
No. It's slightly unfortunate about the Japanese internment camps because, it was an unfortunate...
like, this was my bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fortunate history for wonderful America that we seem to be repeating right now.
What?
Yeah. For really no apparent reason.
I mean, there's an apparent reason.
The big thing.
There's a gang from Honduras, so all Mexicans need to die in cages. It makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah. No. Sorry, Dan. Follow that up.
Oh, it's fine. I have nothing. We have spent all week getting ready for Liam to go to school for the first time, so I did nothing of like note this week.
Well, you did. You could recommend sending your kids to school.
It was a wonderful feeling. My wife and I dropped him off and then immediately went out to eat. And it was a beautiful two-person meal.
Yeah.
Ooh, get your lawnmower blade sharpened.
Yes.
I just got my lawnmower blade sharpened for the first time since I bought my lawnmower a year and a half ago. And man, does it cut a lot better. Like, I used to have to go slow, and it would do the thing where it'd start to slow down. So I'd have to like lift it up to like get it some breathing room and then put it back down. Oh, this thing just fucks lawnmower right up the ass now. Or just that grass. It's just like eat death grass. This lawnmower is just this unstoppable killing machine. It's wonderful.
Well, that's like
Can
when
you
I went
used?
No. Lawnmower? No. But over a year and a half of smacking into things, the blades dulled up. Get your knives sharpened in general. Like your kitchen knives take their. You don't think they still exist because you don't think it's the 1800s, and it's not the 1800s, but they didn't go away. Look in your phone book or look on the internet for a local knife sharpery.
I say you can get them sharpened for a good, usually like $5.
Yeah, it is real cheap. You take them to some place. They're surprisingly often like next door to a Williams-Sonoma or a Kenzie's Spices or whatever. Yeah. But get your blade sharpened. Your lawnmower blade, your kitchen blades, all
Yes, all blades. It they is need significantly it. Safer.
Like, and just easier. Like, I was just walking full speed through my lawn, and I haven't I didn't mow it last week. So this was super long grass, and I was just walking through it normal speed, and my lawnmower's like, ain't no thing, bitches. It was wonderful.
Well, that's like when I upgraded from my shitty gas lawnmower to a new electric lawnmower, and I cut my lawn mowing time in half.
Yeah.
Partly because of more speed on it, but partly just because sharp blade, as opposed to blade that I had, like, run over a stump with.
Yeah.
Yeah, like one of the least safe things you can do in a kitchen is cut a tomato with a dull knife.
Sure. Yeah, fair.
But yeah, like I said, it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah, we do it at least twice a year for our good blades.
All right.
All right.
Was that it?
That was my proxy recommendation for Dan.
Thank you. I will take it.
Yeah. All right. I guess I'm going to go ahead and close it off.
Yay.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye. See y'all next week.
If we're here.